Recently, the top underwater photographer Amos Nahum told us we don't have to be afraid of sharks, even great whites. They're not after us, no. But they do attack, and not always at dawn or dusk in bad visibility. According to the International Shark Attack File online, unprovoked shark attacks in the world have averaged 48 a year over a half century. Wikipedia suggests 80 unprovoked attacks per year. And last year, a dozen boats were attacked too. A few weeks back, experienced New South Wales surfer Rob Pedretti was taken by a great white, and our next guest knows those Port Stephens waters well. He surfs there himself. And that began a spate of attacks across the ditch, as you may have heard, on a 10-year-old boy in hospital now with injuries to the head and chest after a shark grabbed him from a boat in Tasmania. And these are all terrible events, of course. How safe are we in the sea, given that there's generally some sort of shark not far away? It may be far riskier driving to the beach than it is going into the water, but that mightn't help the nerves much. This research may provide some reassurance. The first ever detailed study of the diets of great white sharks off the East Australian coast has surprised researchers. This study used sharks from the New South Wales Shark Meshing Program and Incidental Mortalities, and its lead author is Richard Granger from the School of Life and Environmental Sciences at the University of Sydney. Good morning, Richard.
Good morning. Thanks for having me on.
We've been conditioned to think, you know, that a dorsal fin implies a shark on the hunt for a meal. It probably doesn't imply that, Richard.
No, I think what our study has shown is really kind of an unexpected prevalence of bottom-dwelling prey, which I don't think has really been highlighted that well before for white sharks. So we found things like stargazers, which was really unexpected, and a strange-looking fish that sort of buries themselves in the sand, stingrays. We often found stingray barbs actually embedded in the jaws of the white shark, and even eagle rays, which can be quite hard to catch because they're quite fast, but yeah, that was quite an unexpected finding and hasn't really been shown sort of elsewhere, I think.
We think of fish like carp nosing around on the bottom of the mud, but you don't think of white sharks doing it. So most of the time a big predatory shark is hunting way below where we are swimming. That's kind of confirmed by what you found.
Yeah, well, we found that the most important single prey item was Eastern Australian salmon, which is a pelagic or sort of mid-water fish, often lives quite close to the coast, so that's not super surprising, but I think they are probably spending a lot of their time foraging on these, even at great depth. I mean, there's a lot of tagging data that shows sharks spending hours sort of swimming along the bottom, and I've actually been doing some of that work as well with some camera tags that shows the sharks swimming sort of a few centimetres basically off the bottom for much of the day.
Richard, would they be eating much the same diet on this side of the Tasman? Because the white sharks cross the Tasman, I mean, the sharks you've seen will be the same sharks we could see.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, so we predominantly have juvenile white sharks in coastal regions of eastern Australia, and they do tend to cross the Tasman as well. So I'd expect that they would be feeding on similar sorts of prey, and there's not really that good stomach content data for New Zealand. But yeah, I would expect that they would most likely be feeding on similar sorts of prey. I would expect a similar pattern in New Zealand. But yeah, as they get larger, they're probably searching more for those larger prey.
I've read a study of what they eat in New Zealand, and I don't know if it was as specialised and as detailed as yours, but I mean, it was mentioned that they can have a go at fur seals and sea lions and dolphins, Hector's dolphins too, sadly. I wonder if they're eating more mammals on this side of the ditch.
Potentially, but I think it all sort of depends on the size of the sharks that we're looking at as well. I think juveniles actually show a shift in terms of their dentition and also their sort of jaw musculature, which would tend, once they get to 3 metres or so in length, to let them sort of prey on those larger prey. Even large adult white sharks will spend sort of 6 months of the year out in the middle of the Pacific, where there's not that abundance of mammal prey necessarily. So they're likely still predating upon a broader variety of prey than we might normally think of them.
Okay. So their energy needs change as they get older. They need more energy to drive the bigger bodies, and they might have a higher fat diet, I think you're saying. So does that mean that humans are most in danger of being bitten by a big shark when they are bitten?
A lot of the bites do tend to be from those sort of mid-ranging juveniles, I guess, sort of 2.5 meters or so.
Okay.
Occasionally, you do get these larger sharks that will bite people, and obviously, it's terrible when that does happen. A lot of the bites are often, they seem to be very inquisitive. They often investigate sort of non-prey items, such as even pieces of kelp or seaweed that have broken off and are lying on the seafloor. They'll swim down and have a really good look at it. So I think a lot of the bites tend to be test bites. The sharks are seeing what's potentially edible, what's potentially prey. And often with the smaller sharks, you'll find that they don't come back, so there's the initial bite.
They may just be biting us out of curiosity and then not, but it, of course, just one bite from a decent-sized shark can cause a lot of damage.
Yeah, it is true, but at the same time, I think you have to stress the kind of rarity, and I think a really good example of that is there's been a lot of aerial survey data done recently from both drones and helicopters, and the vast majority of the time, you often see sharks and people in close proximity, and it's sort of the exception, not the rule, that something happens. So the vast majority of times, the shark will just swim straight past the person and nothing happens. People should be cautious, obviously, and you can avoid swimming, for example, when there's birds diving or lots of bait fish around, definitely.
So Rob Pedretti was just probably plain unlucky.
Yeah, I think that was a particularly large shark, so that was about 3.6 metres in length, which, yeah, it was a terrible, sort of tragic occurrence.
Is it something you think about when you're in the water as part of your research?
I do a bit, but I've sort of grown up swimming and surfing as well, like around that Port Stephens area where it is a known sort of nursery for white sharks.
If anything, your research rehabilitates them more in our minds, makes us less scared of them, I think, overall, because their eating habits just seem to be the same as a lot of other fish and a long way from us.
Yeah, definitely. They're definitely still predominantly fish eating.
Interesting to chat. Those juveniles that you mentioned, which we're most likely to encounter, how close to the shore do they come in?
They can come very close to the shore, so within a few metres. They can also migrate out into the middle of the Tasman Sea, so they have a very wide-ranging sort of habitat, I guess.
So we know not to go in when the birds are diving or there's bait in the water. We've been told not to go in at dawn or dusk when they may mistake us. But what do you think about splashing, the normal splashing offshore that people do when they're swimming and frolicking? Do you think that attracts sharks or are they just sort of neutral about it?
Generally, no. I mean, often you see swimmers and sharks in close proximity and yeah, nothing like that happens.
Interesting research. So what do you want to find out next?
Understanding, I guess, whether they're selecting particular prey, how animals might choose particular prey based on certain nutritional compositions, for example. Why are they sort of choosing a particular prey potentially? And is that related to the nutritional composition of that prey? And I think that's a really interesting next step.
How come sharks know exactly what nutritional requirements they need instinctively, and yet humans make such a hash of it? That's what I wondered as I was reading your research too. It's true, isn't it?
Yeah, well, I guess there's sort of internal feedback mechanisms both for sharks and humans. It's not as well recognised in fish, but there are still examples of fish selecting particular compositions of foods. I think with white sharks, some good examples are whale carcasses. So they've been shown to sort of mouth different areas of the whale carcass and selectively feed on certain parts of the whale.
Great research, and thank you for giving us your time to talk about it too.
No, thanks very much for having me on. I appreciate it.
Richard Granger from the University of Sydney.